live from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, women, psychic astrologer and spiritual teacher, Angel Dawn.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Jeff Gold. I am Mark Leger. And now, our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am excited about this show, as I am all shows. This one in particular, I am looking forward to learning more about this topic, the Akashic Records. I have to say that I have learned a little bit over the years. We've talked about it on the show, and I still don't feel like I have a grasp on this as much as possible. I have more questions than I had answers, and technically, if I had the answers, I'd probably have even more questions from there. I'm sure it's it's obviously a very big topic, and again, something I'm really excited to explore and learn from our guest today. One thing I know that there is something, and it's something we talk about all the time, but we don't really talk about it in a way that satisfies me, in that it's not conclusive. So for example, I think this is related. Growing up, I noticed that I was different from my siblings, and I noticed that they were different from me, and each of us was different from each other. And it was just we're different. But then I'd hear our parents talk about us or their children and say things like, he just came that way, or she's always wanted to do that ever since she was a baby. And then as I grew up, I'd hear other parents talk about their children. As an adult, I'm listening in to saying, you know, when he was born, he this, or when she was born. And I'm thinking, same parents, same quote-unquote genes, like, is the egg and the sperm, that is it come from there that makes this one want to be a dancer and that one want to be a politician or a law? Like, something's going on that's beyond the biology, that's beyond the this is my mom, this is my dad. There's something going on, and it's obvious, and to me, and obviously to the people that are talking about it, but we don't go anywhere from this. Like, how do we support that? What do we do to support these people that come this way or have a mission? Or so I have a feeling that in this conversation we'll connect with something that has so long been disconnected in our lives and conversation, or at least in the culture and civilization that I'm growing up in. So that's my thought for today's show. I am online with our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, and I'm wondering what you think, Mark.
I think that that we need more conversations like this, and like what we're going to have with our guests today, and obviously it's calling for more authenticity across the board. There's been so much disinformation and distraction, and the ability to even focus on, you know, what you shared in your monologue and in every individual's, you know, individual story has been getting harder and harder. So I'm really excited with what we're doing. I'm really excited with the insights we're going to share today, and looking forward to a great show.
Well, our show episode is called Akashic Records, Unlock the Wisdom of Your Soul. Our guest is an international psychic astrologer, evidential psychic medium, and spiritual teacher, Angel Dawn. Welcome, Angel, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And as you can see, we're excited about this conversation. How am I tuning into something that is related here with what I was talking about as our souls come to this lifetime?
Yes, definitely. It's very, I want to say in this topic, there's a lot of complexity and a lot of different layers to it. You were talking about how there's on the scientific and biological level, there's these genetics being passed down, but that's not the full story here. It's a confluence of so many different factors. So that includes like the soul, its karma, its purpose, the genetics. Also, we're talking about ancestral karma, generational, like the genetics from that, from your previous ancestors. It's just this whole like mix of so many different factors that comes into play for an individual, for you as a being. Everything it intermeshes with each other. So it's both on the physical, scientific side and the spiritual, etheric side. And all of that has to be taken into consideration. And all of that, it's all interlinked. And my firm belief that in this dualistic universe, that it's not one or the other. It's almost always like both. And it's merging those two extremes. So between science and the metaphysical, the spiritual, and like they say, the truth is somewhere in between.
I'm having this visual as you're sharing this, Angel, and that some of us have learned how to drive a car, and then it's as if we get into an airplane, and somebody says, "Well, it's like driving a car," and go, and so we're in these bodies, and we're in this experience, and we're flying through the air, and all we know is how to drive a car. We don't really know. We don't take these other things into consideration. Our high, our altitude, the weather conditions, is, and all these buttons and gadgets and all of that. I feel like in our human experience, we're missing so many pieces to how to live our lives.
Definitely. That's the whole purpose behind spirituality and why people delve into this subject is to understand, essentially, make sense of everything, the whys. And I feel that's really, really important. I read some article recently that everyone spends at least 10 years of their life on autopilot. So what we're talking about, being in that airplane, just going through the motions. And a lot of us do that. I mean, there was a time in my life I was in that mode. Maybe not for a significant amount of time, but where you're just kind of in the motion, trying to survive, make your way through the world. And this is very true in our earlier years. But there's a time when we start to wake up and become more aware of what this is all about, why we're here, through experiences that serve to like shake us up, jolt us into awareness. That can be traumas, it can be surprises, shocks, all kinds of incidences. But what I want to say is that having really examining yourself, going inwards, examining your life, that is the crux of it all. And then you begin to understand everything. Everything becomes so much clearer. Why you're here, your motivations. So it's really the, I want to say another duality here is the outer and inner. Outer is like dealing with the world, making enough money to support yourself, working with career, all of these things, very external based. Internal is going within and understanding what are your motivations, why you're here, what lessons you came to learn. And that is partially revealed by working with the Akashic Records, just your past motivations, but also the present, almost like using the past to understand the present. But the past remains the past. The present is the most important thing in this particular incarnation, not just your past incarnations. It's this life. This is the life. This is it.
This is it, meaning?
This is it, meaning this is the life you want to focus on. This is the one where you have so many possibilities open to you. To really seize this particular life and maximize your potential and go as far as you can, to treat every life as like, this is it. This is going to be the life where I make breakthroughs, where I can achieve the impossible, it's just basically about maximization of the present. And it's interesting that we talk about Akashic Records is generally related to the past. It can be the future as well, but generally the past is what most people use it for. But it's all for the purpose of the present being the most important thing, the here and now.
So let's get into that. And before we do, you inspired me to maybe coin something new here. We say carpe diem, which is seize the day. Maybe we need to start saying carpe vitam, which is seize the life, seize this life. So let's talk about Akashic Records. What are they and how can they serve us to seize this life, experience this life, and everything we've talked about, or as much as we can get into?
Definitely. I like that saying, seize this life. Human beings are now living longer lives, and there's just a spectrum, full spectrum of experiences and possibilities to be experienced. So it's definitely very true. Now, the Akashic Records, it's actually comes from the Sanskrit word akasha or akash, which means like space or sky. And it's actually a relatively recent term that was kind of coined or used in the last, I would say, 19th century was probably the earliest use of that term. And maybe it wasn't even used in this context of past lives. It really literally probably related to space and the sky, and somehow through it just became utilized in this type of practice in terms of looking into our past. But essentially what it is, it's like a dimension or a space where all human actions, thoughts, any historical precedences have been recorded even through the beginning of time. And it's also on a very personal level and on a very universal level. Through all aspects of the universe. So they call it a dimension, but what I feel is it's really like part of the unified field of this particular universe we reside in. It's part of just this giant electromagnetic field, and practitioners of it will generally utilize that. But I also feel that this electromagnetic field is also, this data is also embedded within our auras. So that's where also the so-called Akashic Records resides. And people like to use the metaphor of like this grand library, or like with a lot of different books and records, the Hall of Records. But really, that's just a human metaphor to understand this concept. There is no grand library, interdimensional library or anything like that. It's just a way for us to understand it. It's really this unified field this information is everywhere and also within every individual aura. And a practitioner who knows how to access this records, and it's also available to anybody as well, will tune into that individual to access a lot of that personal Akashic records stored in that auric field of that individual. And that's like all their actions and thoughts, the genesis of that soul from the very beginning and to now. And I want to say that people have said that past, present, future is all kind of happening simultaneously. Possibly to some degree. This is a very linear dimension in the physical world, but you know, there's some level of, I will say that time is compressed in the spirit world. There is some degree of past, present, and future there because souls are still determining what their next life is, what they want it to be. So it's interesting. A little bit more complex. You could think about it that way, but it's there is a lot of like this paradox happening, but we are accessing the records to make sense of essentially the here and now.
So like an etheric internet.
Yeah, it's like the almost like the Wayback Machine, the grand internet archive can be accessed at any point. And it's like a giant supercomputer. In a sense, every human soul here, and even likely animal souls, I would say some animal souls, you're accessing this supercomputer with the soul, with their being, with their auric field, and accessing all that information, and that auric field being connected to the larger field of the universe. So and nothing can be really separated. It's all this energetic, giant electromagnetic field of vast complexity of information and packets of energy, and it's pretty amazing. What I want to mention is that you can actually access, this is not commonly done, but even future lives as well, though most practitioners don't usually go there. So it's a little bit more. Some of them are not even aware of that, but I do know it's at any point in time can be used for that. And you have to use, I would say, when you're working with an individual, you're accessing deep into their subconscious, and the practitioner itself has to get into sort of into this like state of awareness, brainwave state, to access that deep subconscious of that individual. Now, if we're talking, if a person wanting to look into the origins of the universe, into other dimensions, that takes a lot of focus and ability. Now we're talking about the superconscious, and that is something that everyone can access, but maybe not so readily. It's that really is, now we're talking about higher self here. And really accessing the information at a cosmic, universal level, that is not so easy to access. Likely takes the deepest levels of trance or hypnosis to really access that.
Well, you bring up something interesting when you say it. Trance or hypnosis. So I'm thinking where we're going when we come back after this. commercial break is exactly how do you access that, whether that's you as a practitioner or each one of us, like what do we need to do? How do we ask the questions? How do we prepare to ask the questions? Of course, Angel Dawn is a practitioner, angeldawn.com, just like it sounds, angeldawn, D-A-W-N.com. Where you could find her and her work. She's all over the internet as well. We have her links on the Life Changes Show page for Angel Dawn. And so we'll continue this conversation when we come back. We'll also have our Ask Dorothy segment, and a little later on, our performance guest, Jeff Gold, on the Life Changes Show Online Edition after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like you see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on the Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our episode is Akashic Records, Unlock the Wisdom of Your Soul. We've titled that because our guest is international psychic astrologer, evidential psychic medium, and spiritual teacher, Angel Dawn. And Angel, as I'm listening to you throughout this interesting conversation, I am getting that the tapping into the information is important. I just want to make sure, though, that a lot of people seem to tap into some information and come back and say, well, I was this in a past life. So and they seem to rely on that particular life and who they were and the importance of it and bring it into this one. How does that help us seize this life?
Definitely. Well, through my work with it, a lot of what has happened in the past explains the present. You know, each person has their particular personality, likes, dislikes, own problems, And a lot of that, like something doesn't come from nothing. There's an origin point for why we feel the way we do, seek certain types of relationships or resonate with certain things. A lot of it has the connection to the past, past karma creates the present, and present actions create your future karma. So a lot of it is explained by particular lives. And when people have a particular conviction in a certain life, I tend to believe it, because people are not going to just, they already know deep down inside. There's already already a level of understanding when somebody talks about past lives. They're a little more spiritually evolved in understanding of that concept. And, in a sense, there's hundreds, I would say probably thousands of lives that people will experience. It's a slow and hard grind. There's just too many lessons to learn, and everybody's trying to level up and master these things.
Mm.
And it's just, it's up to the soul at what pace or what speed they want to move at. But everybody's in a, I would say probably in a rush to get ahead. They're like, trying to leapfrog each other in the spirit world,
So what if we're in a rush right now and we want to gain the most or experience the most from this lifetime? How do we connect to the Akashic Records, in your opinion?
So I would say, so as a practitioner, I had an attunement to this work. Attunement is like almost, you could say, an initiation, ritual preparation to resonate. Akashic Records is very high vibration. So if you can raise your frequency or vibration through meditation, through kindness and all that, relaxation, that helps also to get in a specific brainwave state. Usually they say that's in very commonly in the awake state, in our beta frequency. But to get into a specific frequency, so I would say more like the alpha and theta state, possibly gamma, so essentially to raise your frequency to access this energetic field of information. And it's really setting an intention. A lot of practitioners, they will do this beautiful prayer, calling upon their guides and angels to access that. So it makes a really clear intention. Intention is important. Respect and reverence for what you are about to do is the most important thing. But I feel for most people, the biggest hurdle is trust. Is this my mind making it up? Is this me? So that's why a lot of people go to experienced intuitives for this work. But a lot of people, ordinary people, have these inklings and feelings of lives. They can't put their feeling on it. When you go to a practitioner can say these things and it'll be like, oh, something clicks, because you had already felt that. You had already perceived that. So we get these snatches of that. Deja vu is also a part of it. You could be standing in the spot. You could, that's happened so many times to ordinary people where they're at a specific location and they just realize, I was in this building in a different lifetime, or this same spot has a strong, strong soul level resonance. And it's a knowing, you just know right away, I've been here before.
So what I'm hearing, many things, one of them is to pay attention to those moments and those feelings. And not always do we know exactly what it is until we get more attuned. And then by raising our vibrations, which I trust we'll talk about in a minute, we can attune more to what these feelings mean, or even maybe experience more of them. So then potentially not everybody that is saying or thinking my guides are saying this, or they might not be in the frequency to actually be able to receive that from a guide or an angel. So maybe it's their brain letting them know. How do we decipher?
I would say the biggest, it's through experience as well. You can, through experience, tells you whether it's your mind or your intuition. Intuition is very subtle. It's that inner voice, and it's connected to a feeling. When something truly resonates you with, at a deep level, that would, I would call that truth. Now, the way we each individual interprets it, sometimes people don't have the clearest perceptions and misinterpret it slightly, and that happens. That's natural. So it's always this art of working on ourselves, clearing our baggage, removing the filters to have the clearest, most truthful perceptions of that. And that also involves removing our prejudices and internal bias about something. And a lot of people have, I would say, it takes a lot of work for a lot of people to get there. So I would say, so when some people reference, my guides were telling me this, I have actually experienced in some, where some practitioners will actually say, well, you know, how can you be sure that that's your guides and that's not you? Because it's a lot of it is our intuition working with our prejudices and biases, and one has to be careful. But if you are if you're in the right frame of mind, and something truly resonates with you on a deep level, I would say there is a truth in there. There is a deeper truth. Now, how you interpret those nuances, that becomes a test of your level of clarity and perception, intuitive clarity and perception.
So could it be also that obviously going to certain practitioners that they may be tuning into what the person is thinking, and so they could confirm what they're thinking and what's in their head, as opposed to sharing with them what's in the Akashic records?
I found that really interesting too, because when I do intuitive work, oftentimes we pick up on people's thoughts, and that in itself is really magical. Pretty magical. Like we'll pick up on things they were thinking last night, or just, but there's the thing is, a practitioner, there is like everything, it's not an exact science. Each practitioner depends on how clear of a channel they are. So they may, you know, there's no such thing as 100% accuracy. You know, some intuitives are very, very accurate, and we're talking about, we're getting into the 90-95%, you know, and that's not the case all the time, and some have a lower accuracy in that. But in terms of thought, I'd like to say that if an intuitive or practitioner doing this sets a intention to work for the highest and greatest good of the one they are helping, and then just letting go at that point, then you just let go and let everything that comes through, even if it picks up on the person's thoughts, because there is some sort of like validation or resonance happening there. And that is likely to be truth right then and there. It's just the that synchronicity happening right there. And other times it can be, you know, the thoughts may itself reflect the truth of the records itself. But I would say that's why in a true reading, the sitter does not talk about who they think they are, what all of that. You start off with a blank slate so that the practitioner has no biases or prejudices, and you will not, the client does not give volunteer information that will create some sort of bias in the mind of the intuitive. So really, when you start off in a reading and you don't know the person and you start delving into the past lives, then there's a level, a pure level of truth there. For example, I remember with one client, I was talking about in one lifetime where she had drowned as a child in a pool, as a child. And she later validated to me that she had just bought a house and it had a pool in the backyard, and she was fearful. She had not stepped outside in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
She had a fear of water. Kids had been in the pool, everything. She did not step outside.
Wow. And
so that's just like, boom, like people will, you will know when you had a ring and somebody talks to you about your lives and they do not know you and they talk about it and you're like, it just hits you like a ton of bricks. It's like,
well, this conversation, I think is hitting like a ton of bricks in the sense that it if anything, it's a wake up call to even at the base level, I am getting that we need to be clearing our biases and our just clearing and I could see where it could help with Akashic, connecting with Akashic records. I could see where it could help with connecting with friends and family and just being there or being present and actually just being present in our own life. So clearing. And that's one of the major takeaways. Angel, we're going to have to end our conversation for today, but any couple other takeaways you want to make sure that we all get?
Oh, definitely. And first of all, it was a pleasure to speak with you on this topic. I would say definitely clearing, working on ourselves, healing any negative experiences, any traumas, misperceptions, judgments, particularly. Mm. Not to judge people and ourselves, especially when we access this, because this is heavy work, and it has to be approached with reverence, because everyone is here to experience everything, and that includes the negative and the positive. So there has to be a level of respect, readiness, and reverence for this. And I want to say that it's within you. You can access the records. It's not just a special chosen few, just like your relationship with the being, with the higher power. You don't have to go through some sort of necessarily an emissary, a priest who has some special powers. No, you can do it as well.
Thank you for that, Angel Dunn. I agree. I like that. And of course, if anyone is interested in learning more about Angel Dunn or having a reading or working with her, they can go to angeldawn.com. Once again, a pleasure, Angel, and looking forward to connecting again.
Likewise. Thank you.
All the best to you. Wow. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, This is Marissa from San Diego, and I truly feel that I have finally met my soulmate. However, my family doesn't think he is a good choice, and they have begged me not to accept his marriage proposal. We have so much fun when we are together, and I have tried so hard to get my family to see him as I see him. I believe I should say yes and get married, even though my family is so against this. They are concerned because he is not working right now, and yet I have more than enough money to support us both. What do you think about my situation?
Dear Marissa, marriage is one of the most important choices we make, so please examine this decision very carefully. I have been a minister for over 38 years and have performed many marriage ceremonies. And before I agree to officiate a marriage, I have a meeting with the engaged couple. Sometimes I have more than one meeting, if necessary, to assist them in determining if they are making the right choice. So many people have told me that they have found their soulmate and marriage is the perfect answer. And yet, in our meetings, I have discovered that yes, they may indeed be soulmates, and yet they may not be one another's divine complement. And that is what is needed if one is to have a long, successful, and happy marriage. The truth is that we have many soulmates, but we should be looking to marry our divine complements, as there are usually only one or two of those in a lifetime. Divine complements have similar visions of the future to yours, and they share many common goals and are compatible in lots of areas. I suggest that you make a list of what you absolutely need and desire in a husband, and then honestly determine how many of these characteristics your man has. You might be surprised with what you discover. As for your family's concerns, I believe that financial stability plays a tremendous part in a successful union. So it is vitally important in your situation to explore the fact that your financial future will be extremely impacted by his ability to earn money. Save money, and most importantly, you need to consider his spending habits and check out his financial background. After you have done the research and asked the right questions, I lovingly suggest you have a few sessions with a minister or relationship counselor prior to committing to marriage. I believe this can assist you in determining if this man is the perfect fit for a long and happy life together.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance segment with performer Jeff Gold here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorotheyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, host of the Life Changes Show, online edition at the moment, and we are happy to have as our performance guest, singer-songwriter, Jeff Gold. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hi, Filippo. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I have to say that when I first was introduced to your work, our mutual friend, oh my gosh. Raspin Stewart. Thank you for saving me. It was a while back, and I started listening to your music, and right away I felt like I was in for a story. Like, you know, I was in for like kick back and listen to a story. And then sure enough, each song, and I'm thinking, well, that's folk music. You know about folk music. Please share with us, Jeff.
Well, I first got into folk music when I was 13. I had a bar mitzvah, and one of the guests gave me a Peter, Paul, and Mary album. And I just fell in love with it. And that was actually the very first concert I went to, was to see Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm.
But I've always liked story songs and songs that talk about the human condition. And I think that that's, something that's going to last forever. Folk music can relate to everybody. And there's songs that a lot of times, you know, you can sing along to. So you involve the audience, which is also a very good thing.
You went on to share a stage with Peter, Paul, and Mary and several others, Suzanne Vega, et cetera, et cetera. So very fun. And actually, you come from a very talented musical family.
Well, my father played piano by ear, and my grandmother sang opera. And then I had an uncle that played klezmer music on clarinet and saxophone. So, yes, when I was 4 years old, I remember playing piano down the basement of my grandmother's home for like hours. And it's funny, but at that early age, I knew that that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, was play music.
Jeff, I am not Jewish. A lot of my friends are, and I know the song Adonai. So I almost wanted to play it on the show. Tell us about it.
Well, that's a song that I wrote with a friend of mine. His name is Paul Zolo. He's a journalist and also a great songwriter. And we wanted to write a song about our grandparents and how they came to this country and the immigrant experience. So I had gotten a melody and a chorus in my head. And I contacted Paul and sent him, a demo of both of those things. And then about 3 or 4 months later, the song was finished. And we've done it many times at synagogues on the High Holy Days. And it was recorded by cantor Hazan Mike Stein. And there's also a great video that was done by Eric Hernandez on YouTube of it.
Well, it is sung at several events that I've been to, so kudos to you. So speaking of your music, we're going to get to hear a piece that's pre-recorded. This is your piece, Three Strangers. Tell us about that real quick.
Well, for a short time, I was a night watchman at a senior living place in Brooklyn, New York. And I wrote that song about two people that I knew, that I met in the songwriting community that we're in, probably around 3 o'clock in the morning when I was looking for something to do. And then the first time we did it was at a club called Folk City. And I did it with two friends of mine, and we did it in three-part harmony. And it got great reaction. So it's like one of my signature songs.
So it's three strangers that you do with three friend of yours in three part harmony that was written at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's very interesting. So here is Jeff Gold's pre-recorded song, Three Strangers, here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
He came in from the south, withdrawn and through the dreams, writing for the poor and those that follow streams. And no one wants to listen, and no one wants to try. And he stayed up most of the night and cried. What happened to the future? It never seemed at stake. What happened to the women who turned out to be fake? Leaving life as empty as a wish upon a lake. She came in from the west with starlight in her bags, looking for a city with open friendly hands. But now she knows the stinging of reality's stand, and she stayed up most of the night and cried. I thought I'd find a future, I thought I'd find a man, and I always thought there'd be at least one who understands. I'm looking for some honesty, is that too much to demand? He never left his home. Arizona sands. He wanted to get married. He was single in the end. He decided to accept it or reject it just the same. And he stayed up most of the night and cried. I sit in front of the fire and I think about the plans. I'd like to say I'm happy, but I don't know if I can. Most of it was worth it. I'm not sure about the pain. Three strangers walking slowly each in a different space, searching like a miner sifting the
Now, there's a story. You know, actually, Jeff Gold, everyone, you could find him on Facebook at Jeffrey David Goldsmith. You could find more information on him and the link at our Life Changes show page for Jeff Gold. Jeff, you know, I like that you are part of the revival of the New York folk scene in the 70s. And it was interesting to me when I read that, I'm thinking revival of folk. In a sense, to me, that was the era of folk. And yet folk has been around for centuries, maybe even since the beginning of time, because it's the people's story told in song kind of thing, right? Almost every culture that I know of has it.
That is correct. And it's really the people's music, because it's music that people can, it talks about, you know, people's personal struggles and love and relationships and just what happens in life. And yes, in the 70s, it was basically like the second wave of folk music after the Bob Dylan and the Peter Paul and Marys and the Paul Simons. And it was a whole new group of songwriters that came into Greenwich Village in the mid-70s. And the ringleader sort of was Jack Hardy. And he's like one of the great American songwriters that a lot of people have never heard of. But he was the one who sort of was the organizational person, you know, that everybody looked to for guidance. And he ran a songwriter circle that we would have to write a new song every week. And that's where I met people like Steve Forbid. And I actually discovered Suzanne Vega from a demo tape, because I was booking a club called Folk City. And I was given a box of cassette tapes and said, go through these and see if you can find anybody that you like. And lo and behold, there was a demo tape from Suzanne Vega. So I gave her her first gig in New York at a place called Folk City.
That is cool. Now, actually, is she in L.A. now? I think I've met her here in L.A.
She still lives in New York.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She married a poet who used to do poems on the streets of New York. You'd give him a dollar and he could recite just about any poem you could ask. His name is Poez.
So as people can hear, you are full of stories, whether you tell them in song or whether you tell, can we give you a dollar and would you tell us a story? I know that you enjoy singing the stories, and here comes another story, and it feels very life-changes-y. How fast it goes. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a song that I wrote about, raising a family and, getting married. And before I turned 30, I had a goal of traveling across the country. And at 29, I filled up my car with gas and a tent and my guitar. And I went across the country and spent a year doing that. And that's what the impetus to start the song was about. And then just about looking back through the years, having kids and getting married and all the life changes that happen. Very much about what your show's about.
So yes, indeed. Well, we're going to get to hear it all now, How Fast It Goes. This is Jeff Gold's pre-recorded song here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
I was in my Dodge Dart on a night like tonight. I looked to my left, I thought that I might drive clear across this country through the wheat fields of gold. Sometimes a dream is all you can hold. So I saved up my money, setting up mics for the band, knowing the future was in my own hands. To go where you want, well, that's the young man's game. When you don't know the difference between the heat and the flame. And I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see my child inside of me, telling me things I told long ago to my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. So I drove across this country, I was living in my car, playing tunes for quarters on my steel string guitar. Freedom was mine, it was precious, it was pure. Music was life, nothing meant more. And I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see my child inside of me, telling me things I told long ago to my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. Years later, I look back on those times. wife and two kids, a face with more lines. But the earth is still turning and the wind's changing speed. In the end it is love, that's all you need. And I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see my child inside of me, telling me things I told long ago to my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. I look in the mirror, what do I see? I see my child inside of me, telling me the things I told long ago to my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. To my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. I was in my Dodge Dart on a night like tonight.
Jeff Gold. Jeff, thank you so much for that. And find Jeff Gold on Facebook at Jeffrey David Goldsmith. And of course, you could learn more about Jeff and find him and his music on our page for him at lifechangesshow.com. Jeff, talking about how fast it goes, it's gone. Our time together is done. But thank you. Thank you for leaving us with this. I look in the mirror. What do I see? I see my child inside of me, telling me things I told long ago to my mom and dad, how fast it all goes. That's so special. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
What a pleasure, Jeff Gold, on the show. Thank you. And with that, we also want to thank our guest, Angel Dawn. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, and myself, that is our show. Remember that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.